Welcome to the Agents Lounge Podcast, where we talk all things real estate with the industry's top performers. Join us as we dive into the inspiring journeys of successful agents and uncover the secrets to their success. Whether you're a seasoned agent or just starting out, we got the tips and tricks to help you navigate the world of real estate. Brought to you by Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. So grab a seat and join us in the Agents Lounge.
Welcome back to the Agents Lounge Podcast. This is episode 11. Joining us today is Mr. Pierre Miller with Kimberly Howell Properties. How's it going?
Man, it's going great. It's another great day to be alive and have an opportunity to do business.
Yeah, awesome. So let's just jump right into it. I actually had an icebreaker question.
Okay.
Are you excited about the aliens? I'm sure you've seen at least the memes.
Well, I thought they were already here. They were the scrolls, right?
Oh, the pigeons too.
I guess I'd say as excited. I'm excited about it.
Yeah,
as long as they're friendly.
I mean, yeah. There's so many different ways that I guess it could go. I mean, if it crashed here, I don't know. And where they're from, how far do they travel? That's maybe a different podcast. So,
do they have a good latte?
Yeah, right.
They got a Starbucks, in the Vegas system. I don't know.
That's funny. All right. So, basically, we just are going to ask you, maybe what did you do before you got into real estate?
Yeah, absolutely. Previous to being in real estate, the job I actually held was a sales manager for a Fortune 500 company. Before that, I was a sales associate. And then before that, I was in the Air Force.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd you do in the Air Force?
I actually was a dental technician.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So.
And did you enjoy it?
I did. The thing for me is, it was a little tough being, at that time, I was 6'6", 200 and I'd say 40 pounds, gained a little bit more weight since then. But, just a little tough, trying to maneuver in a small dental treatment room. And
oh, yeah.
Having bigger hands and whatnot.
Right.
So, but, bedside manner, I tried to make sure that, I was, good with that and working with the doctor. So I enjoyed that aspect of it. So.
Well, that's cool. So what was the transition like? So you said military, and then what was after that?
So I was in the Air Force. I did 4 years, and then I re-enlisted. And during that time, I actually got a licensure in massage therapy. And I was actually doing massage therapy mobile at the time. And, little sporadic with regards to that.
No, I mean.
But, as far as, in that space, in that business. And I started working part-time.
Yeah.
It was CarMax is where I was working at. And, I really liked it and I really liked sales. I liked interacting with people and providing them a service. And so it kind of grew from there. And, once I was done with my second enlistment, just went ahead and started working at full time.
Nice. I bet, your wife is pretty happy if you're a licensed massage therapist.
Yes. I would say that was, I guess, one of the tools in my toolbox, I would say, that allowed me to be desirable for her. So.
Can you also cook? Are you a good cook?
I cannot cook.
That's a trade-off. Yeah.
So a couple things I can make a really good, it's called an egg in a basket. What you do is you take a piece of bread and you put the butter on the skillet, you cut out a little hole for the egg, put the egg in there, turn it over, cook it like
that. Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, so I can do that really, really well. My grandmother used to do that, and I watched her do it, and that's one thing I can do. I can make a mean grilled cheese, too.
I probably excel at breakfast more than anything else, anything breakfast-related. Yep. Outside of that, it's probably hot dogs.
Yeah. I like my bacon crispy. My wife, not so much.
Oh, yeah?
So she, she kind of lets me cook the bacon, but she monitors.
Yeah.
So.
So, how did you find Kimberly Howell?
Well, So a couple things. If you go into the San Antonio Board of Realtors, I haven't been there lately, but you'll see her name on the wall. Well, her name and her face on the wall, just because of contributions that she's made through TREPAC. She's been in business for 30 years. And then at the time, my wife had a Porsche, and we took it to a automotive shop that specialized in, I guess,
like foreign
cars,
yeah.
Porsches, Ferraris, BMWs, and whatnot. And, I think Kimberly at that time was taking, she had a Cadillac Escalade. She took her Escalade there.
Mm.
And everybody knew through just casual conversation, I was going through realtor school, and, they raved so much about Kimberly Howell, such a great, great realtor.
Yeah.
Great team, great group. And so that really intrigued me. And then, just in the course of, being in class and asking people, her name just kept on coming up.
Yeah.
As far as being, a really good place to be as far as a brokerage and just a realtor in general. Kind of along the same lines like with Air Integrity. I asked around about, good HVAC companies, and y'all name came up 7 times.
Yeah.
In a forum, talking to other realtors. So
that's awesome. So do you predominantly deal with commercial or residential?
Residential. Yep. I would like to move into the commercial space at some point, but for right now, residential.
Okay. Is there any pros and cons between dealing with residential customers or commercial, or differences, I guess, between the two?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call it pros or cons. It's just different in terms of, residential, you look at the house, you're talking about people who are going to be living there. That's going to be, for the most part.
Yeah.
People are living there. They, want to see what the backyard looks like. How does it feel? What's the layout of the house? There's a lot of emotional connection to it.
Right.
And very much so, us as human beings, the human aspect of it is I want to find a place that's going to be working for me, not only from a budget set standpoint, but then also from, does it feel like home?
Yeah.
With the commercial side, and again, I don't do the commercial side, but from what I've been told, it's more about the numbers. Do the numbers work?
Right.
On return on investment.
Yeah.
Not to say that residential doesn't provide you return on investment if you decide to sell,
mm-hmm.
but you're looking at it for more just a logical numbers perspective.
Yeah.
On the commercial side of the house.
Yeah. Dealing with property investors who own residential. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So have to discuss ROI on that, right?
Maybe. Yeah, absolutely.
I have a question for you. So you just said you started from a dental assistant, and then you did sales, and then realtor, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have a very soothing voice, very calm.
Oh, thank you.
Did you get that from dental assistants?
I'm going to need you to send that to my wife and let her know. She sometimes, she says, you're a little bit too blunt sometimes with your clients. And I'm like, I feel it's important to tell the truth. Continue. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So, because when you're going through that dental training, right, there's a certain way you have to treat the clients.
Absolutely.
Is that something you picked up there, or?
Yeah, I would call it bedside manner. Obviously, so communication, they say 90% is nonverbal, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're not going to be able to see that if you're just on the phone, things of that nature. But definitely when you got someone, no one wants to go see the dentist, right?
Yeah.
So, for me, it was important to me that my patient at that time, was felt very, very, very as relaxed as could be. And so for me, you don't want to be, loud and I don't know what to call it, obnoxious or anything like that. But, I get them in a chair, ask them if, comfortable, they need anything, adjust a chair. For me, my go-to was really just comedy jokes, get them thinking about something other than the fact I'm about to have a tooth worked on or something like
that. Right.
So
does that translate into your job now?
Yes, I think absolutely. You look at the aspect of from, having a bedside manner and, working in a dental clinic to, people wanting to buy a car, you know, people wanting to make a purchase, the largest purchase that they might probably going to be making, you know, which is, you know, their home, real estate. You want to make them feel comfortable. I don't know if I even really, it's more of a sales thing as opposed to just being someone who is providing them information and being an advocate for them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing that Kimberly talks about a lot is just honoring your fiduciary, meaning placing the client's needs above all others in any transaction, you know. And I think there's a three-pronged, you know, I call it attack to it. It's just they want to know that you're competent, you know, that you know what you're doing, that you're going to competently negotiate for them, that you're going to, if it's selling their home, you're going to, you know, be able to market it in such a way to where it actually gets sold and sold for the highest price possible. You know, you want to be communicative, have great communication in terms of ensuring that they know what's going on in the market, what's going on with their property, what's going on if, for the home that they're trying to purchase, you know, what's the ins and outs, what exactly they're getting into. And then I think probably maybe most important, the other two are still very important, is that you care about them as a human being.
Yeah.
And so I just try to employ that with every interaction that I have with clients.
Yeah. I feel that, I mean, it's a biggest purchase you'll probably make in your life.
Absolutely.
And giving them confidence and trust. I mean, the way you communicate, I can see that that's one of your strengths as an agent.
Yeah.
'Cause I feel like I'm always shouting. But we're dealing with technicians a lot of times, and they're like, go here, go there, and run over here. It's like juggling.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I'm going to try your strategy next week.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if you could be blunt, like your wife was saying, but if you deliver it with that voice, you know, it's not so bad.
Yeah, I mean, and again, all of us are, you know, always trying to improve, right, you know, in our profession. And for me, you know, I can get excitable, you know, especially if, you know, I'm with it. Because one of the aspects I like, you know, being when I'm a buyer's agent is I like going and looking at all the houses, you know, with the client and seeing their eyes kind of open up to, you know, the possibilities of what's there. And I get excited with them because I'm like, ooh, this is, you know, got a double door. It's a French door. Or, you know, they see some, ooh, it's got an in-ground pool or, you know, stuff like that. So,
yeah, that's cool.
And maybe we get it because I used to be an elementary teacher, and I feel like I stay the same, like talking. When I talk, I feel like I'm shouting.
You know, like you're talking to elementary kids, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think you got to give yourself credit and give yourself some grace, though, because, I mean, like you just said, in the environment, you know, you sometimes you have to project your voice, right?
Yeah.
Because maybe it's in an environment, someone's upstairs, maybe you're downstairs, you got to make sure you're heard, you know, given directive, you know, on a repair or a replacement of, you know.
Yeah, but I couldn't imagine me pulling the teeth out and telling, hey, I'm going to pull that teeth out of it. Don't move.
Sweating bullets, yeah. So what does the market look like for first-time homebuyers? I guess within the past year, has it picked up? Has it increased?
So, here's the thing I will say based upon my own personal experiences of what I've seen and then also, you know, what the data says.
Yeah.
Okay. 18 months ago, you know, you had 3% interest rates, you know, not enough inventory. So you really have a frenzy in terms of, you know, on the residential side, you know, there's multiple offer situations and things of that nature.
Yeah. Blood in the water.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, it, you know, for a lot of buyers that really, you know, if they don't have a realtor that can help navigate them through that process, it can be really daunting, overwhelming, you know, it can be scary.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we were faced with then. Now, you got interest rates, you know, been hovering around 6.5 to 7%.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's people who are out there who say, well, it's not a good time to buy. Well, it depends upon what your situation is. For a first-time buyer, there's plenty of, you know, programs that are out there to help with first-time buyers, even with, you know, down payment assistance, things of that nature. And, you know, and that's why it's important to get yourself with a loan officer who can help navigate that process for you and decide what's going to be best for you. Even though the rates are higher than what they were, the inventory is still limited.
Yeah.
And what I've told my clients who are sellers, and I seem to have, you know, mostly have mostly sellers over the last, you know, 6 to 9 months, is that, hey, be willing to help out these buyers to get them to the closing table, meaning, you know, complete the transaction.
Yeah.
And what that means is providing them with closing costs, you know, in such a way that they can, what we call, buy down that rate.
Yeah.
Drive the rate down by giving, you know, the buyer, you know, enough money to be able to make the transaction happen.
Mm.
So to come back to your original question, I feel like it's still a good market for first-time buyers. And for anybody who does not actually have real estate right now. So, I mean, if you have a home, Francisco, if you have a home and you're paying 3%, you got to really justify why I'm going to go buy another house to move into and pay 7%, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's got to be a good enough reason. Maybe you got some extra cash on hand. Now, if you're a first-time buyer, you're renting, well, how much interest are you paying?
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
And the reality of...
More than 100, to be honest. You're covering the mortgage plus some, yeah?
Yeah. So, you know, the reality of real estate, you know, it's a slow burn in the sense that typically you have 2 to 6% appreciation per year. Now, in 2020 and 2021, the city of San Antonio, you had 23% appreciation year over year from March of 2020 to March of 2021.
That's crazy.
And then you had 19% from, I believe, March of 2021 to March of 2022.
Yeah.
So you had 40% appreciation. Now we're kind of more back to that 2 to 6%.
Yeah.
But if you wait, keep on waiting, then you're going to be, yeah, you might get a rate that's maybe it's a little bit lower, but the price of the house is going to be higher.
Yeah.
And so that's the dynamic with which you have to really navigate through, and where having a realtor really is going to help you, because find a home as a first-time buyer that you can afford.
Yeah.
You're not house poor, meaning, you know, you're just living to pay your mortgage.
Right, yeah.
Something you can afford. And it doesn't have to
be. You got a house with, like, no furniture, yeah. Like, or some beach chairs or something.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be, like, this grand mansion.
Right.
You know, it can be, you know, I don't want to call it a starter home, but a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, you know, maybe 1,500, 1,600 square feet, you know, live in that. And then when the rates come down, refinance, all the while you're building that equity, like we talked about, as far as that 2 to 6% average.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example of that. I bought a home in 2012. My realtor was Larry Campbell, one of my real estate mentors. And I bought my house for $247,000. The house across the street, even with the rates increasing, last year sold for $415,000. I've been in my house for about 10 years.
Jeez.
So I'm sitting on $200,000 roughly of equity.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a beautiful thing because it allows you, you can't really, we talk about the American dream, right? Everybody wants to, you know, pursue that, obtain that. You can't really focus on all that until you can control your own living economic situation.
Yeah.
So first-time buyers, I feel like it's a really good opportunity, not only from sellers who are coached up by the realtors to offer closing costs, but then also the incentives that it's in the builder. You know, the builders are offering a lot of incentives right now.
Yeah.
So for, you know, buyers out there.
What about for second home buyers or third home buyers? Because I got my second home, but it wasn't because I wanted to.
Okay.
We used to live in Brownsville.
Okay.
And we got approved for another home here, and we ended up renting our home in Brownsville. Paid that off, and now we have this one, right? But I forgot where I was going with this question. But for somebody that just owns one home right now, like, would you coach them through the process of acquiring a second home, or how would that conversation go?
Well, I mean, again, my job is to sell homes, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like, again, back to the point that I talked about, fiduciary, what's in the best interest of the client? You know, that answer that you're looking for is going to be very nuanced in terms of what is their situation, what's their financial situation, you know, because I never want to put anybody in a situation to where they feel and stretch them, you know. So a part of it is just having a hard conversation with them. Well, I wouldn't call it hard, but, you know, a blunt conversation with them about, hey, if we were to go and buy this other house, how is that going to help? How's it going to handle your finances? And keep in mind that long term, you're always going to win because real estate appreciates.
Yeah.
But we want to make sure, obviously, when you go through that process, that we're not stretching you thin financially to where it can be a struggle, you know, for you in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, especially for almost any place in Texas right now. It's just such a hot spot in San Antonio, even more so just because.
Well, here's the thing I'll tell you is that, you know, if you're trying to go buy a home in, say, Stone Oak,
yeah,
you're going to pay a premium. It's a well-established area.
Yeah,
it's
right.
A nice area. Even, you know, where I live in Alamo Ranch, you know, again, just to the point that I was talking about, $247,000 10 years ago. Now you got $400,000, $500,000, sometimes even $600,000 homes. But there are still places in the San Antonio area where you can find homes. St. Hedwig is an example, you know, and the property taxes out there is minimal versus, you know, somewhere in the city.
Yeah.
You know, downtown San Antonio and stuff like that. So,
right.
I mean, there's still opportunities. There's always going to be opportunities. It's just you need a realtor to help you find it.
There's the plug.
Shameless.
Yeah, right. What is something that you wish you knew when you first started in realty that you know now? That, like, if you could go talk to yourself at that starting point.
Oh, that's, man, I'm just trying to, you know, I don't know if I can answer that question because my first transaction that I did, you know, sometimes they say, well, sometimes you're so optimistic you don't know any better. Beginning of the pandemic, you know, people were uncertain about the real estate market just in general.
Yeah.
And there was a client of mine that, you know, wanted to purchase a $500,000 home. Mm. You know, and, you know, talking to the loan officer, talking to another, you know, mortgage company, they're like, well, we can do it in a year or we can do it in 9 months. And we came across this model home, and the model home was beautiful. Long story short, I went to the loan officer. I said, hey, how much is it if you wanted to purchase this thing in 30 days? What would it take? And he said, well, you need to ask for $25,000 in closing costs. And I said, what? And that's really bold.
Yeah.
You know? And I didn't know any better at the time. So I called Kimberly. I said, hey, do you think they would do that? She was like, I don't know. You could ask. I don't know. That'd be a tall ask, you know. But I was bold enough to where I asked. And they said, well, let me think about it. Let's write up the contract. So I wrote up the contract. And then I got, you know, approved by their higher-ups, you know, 3 days later.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, everybody in brokers was like, well, I can't believe that happened. And then so he closed. He's extremely happy. You know, the sales rep comes to me. He's like, hey, Pierre, congratulations. Congratulations to your client. Just so you know, that will never happen again. I guess what I would say, that try to answer your question the best I can after telling that story, is just continually be trying to learn about the market. You know, staying up to date about the market, and there's always going to be different scenarios. You learn something new in real estate every day, every year, every month. I mean, even Kimberly, you know, she talks about that a lot, about, you know, you want to make sure that you're continuing that education aspect of, you know, because there's so many different variables to real estate, a transaction, you know, a property.
Right.
You know, so.
What's the best way to keep up with that type of stuff? Is it just being in the field? Do you have like a certain source?
I really try to read more real estate related content. I don't want to speak ill of major media outlets, but, you know, sometimes the articles are a little bit behind what's actually happening. Like, we knew about multiple offer situations like 6 months before the news started reporting it.
Yeah.
You know? we knew about, well, the rates were increasing and you need to help out buyers, you know.
Yeah.
Before, you know, we knew about the shortage of inventory in San Antonio. I mean, they're not building enough homes as fast as people want them.
Right.
You know, the influx of people.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a combination of just being able to lean on those, you know, I call it trusted resources, and then just, you know, going and being in the market, you know, and you know, my last transaction that I had, you know, it was a learning experience for me. It was my first time that on a VA loan that the appraisal came in low, and they call that a, what they call it as a tidewater. Mm. And so, and, you know, with Kimberly, you know, we formulated a plan to say, okay, because we get an opportunity to rebuttal, say, hey, no, the house is worth this amount.
Yeah.
And we were successful. And so that was a learning experience for him. But now I can kind of speak to that.
Yeah.
Because I read about it. And it's important to read and be knowledgeable, but there's another part of doing it as well.
For sure. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I appreciate the information, honestly. You actually having, like, statistics in your head to, like, pull from, and you can actually, like, develop a solid explanation.
Well, and thank you for that. You know, I try to do a lot of reading, you know, just in general, and also about the market. And, you know, I don't think there's any substitution for experience, but it does definitely help. And I'll, you know, if we're talking about statistics, I'll bring you one more. We talk about first-time buyers, adding on to, you know, I guess a motivation for first-time buyers. Homeowners, on average, and the statistics have varied throughout the last, I'd say, you know, 12 months or so, but there are usually about 38 to 44 more times in terms of their net worth of what they have.
Oh, wow.
Homeowner versus just...
Is that a nationwide stat, or is that a...
That's a nationwide stat,
yeah. Yeah.
So
that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
For our listeners, if you don't... if you're renting right now, look into buying a home. Well, Mr. Miller, do you have any closing remarks? It's going to probably wrap it up for us today.
No, I would just like to say thank you for the opportunity to come in and just have a short conversation with y'all. And hopefully, you know, it was enlightening in terms of, you know, and somewhat entertaining, you know. You know, I don't do any free licensed massages, so, but, you know, that's exclusive to my wife nowadays. But I do also want to say that, you know, in terms of, I can't just state how I want to talk about, you know, this is the shameless plug for you all. Airtegrity, you know, in terms of an HVAC company, has been the most responsive and has been, you know, the most gracious in terms of working with, and in terms of y'all reputation. And I know y'all are not, you know, extremely huge, but it's great what y'all are doing in terms of providing quality service in HVAC, you know, but also doing quality work at a reasonable price, you know. And so just want to thank y'all for that.
No, we appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you for that. That'll do it for episode 11 of Agents Lounge Podcast.
You've been listening to the Agents Lounge Podcast, brought to you by Airtegrity Comfort Solutions. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or to listen to past episodes, please visit agentsloungepodcast.com.